Hang on, give me 1 second, Muggs. We're working. We're here. I got it. Hit it, Steve.
That's about...
It's on. It's on. It's happening.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is happening.
Oh, you want... Okay.
This is happening right now. These are the first moments of what is happening right now. This is the beginning of what's happening right now.
You want to get your hands dirty?
Yeah, man.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Kevin and Bean Show. You are not stoked. What? You know what I'm trying to say. You should die. What? Why should I die? I did not say that. Yes, you just did. You are mistaken. Are you a long time? Do you watch all the time? Long time fan him?
And now.
I need to step out. My bowels get very loose in situations like this.
Our feature presentation.
I need a do-over for that intro. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. What was that about?
The first problem was just me not having the intro ready to go. I've been very, very busy the last few minutes because we've got a lot of stuff coming up. You know, we got an inner roundup I'm working on. Got a death corner we're doing, so I've been kind of getting all my paperwork together. And then it occurred to me, as Beer Mug gives me the, you know, the 3 second warning that we're going on, that I don't have that up. And then I don't know what the hell was going on with the computer audio. That was just honked up.
I have to
send in SEAL Team 6 to work on that. Anyway, I apologize, but don't let that rough start be any indication that it's not going to be a great show, because we do have a lot of good stuff coming up. First, though, I want to talk about my man The Rock, who I have tremendous respect for, even though I've never seen any of his movies.
You've never seen one.
I don't think I have. What would I have ever seen that he's been in?
Well, I mean, he hasn't just done the big blockbusters. What was the one he did?
I mean, I know a movie like The Other Guys seems like something I might want to go see because I like Will Ferrell, but I never saw that. And, of course, you know, mostly he's in Fast and Furious type movies and Scorpion Kings and those types of things that I just never see. What would I have seen that he was in?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the one movie I'm thinking that you would have seen. I think it was the follow-up to that.
I do love
him,
though.
I'll look it up.
I will tell you that he is just one of those guys that I'm just so unbelievably impressed with. He's so smart. He's so funny. He's so articulate. I've seen him host Saturday Night Live a couple times. He's always great when he does that. Football star at the University of Miami, of course. Guy just does it all. But isn't it possible that he's too buff, though? I always wondered about those guys that look like him. Like, they're so above and beyond guys that are just in good shape or guys that have just worked out to the point where they look good. It looks like it must be a full-time job to maintain when you're that crazy in shape and that crazy muscled out, right?
I imagine it is part – yeah, it's a job for sure.
It seems like it would be a – and especially the, you know, the kinds of movies he does back – like he's doing Hercules right now. This is why I think about this. He's starring as Hercules. So you can imagine, you know, what's his name, who's the Wolverine, just like him. You have to just be in the best possible shape a human has ever been in if you're going to play a role like that and look right on screen. So it came out yesterday. I guess he tweeted what his diet is like while he's making Hercules for 22 weeks. This is what he's going to be eating, okay?
Okay.
7 meals a day. Yeah. Meal number 1, 10 ounces of filet with 4 egg whites, 5 ounces of oatmeal or cream of wheat. Meal number 2, 8 ounces of chicken, 2 cups of white rice, 1 cup broccoli. Meal number 3, 8 ounces of halibut, 2 cups white rice, 1 cup asparagus. Meal number 4, 8 ounces of chicken, 12 ounces of baked potato, 1 cup broccoli. Meal number 5, 8 ounces of halibut, 1.5 cups of white rice, 1 cup asparagus. Are you full by now? I am, by the way.
That sounds like work.
Meal number 6, 8 ounces of filet, 9 ounces of baked potato with salad. Meal number 7, 30 grams of casein protein. Don't know what that is. Wish Mike Cather were here. 10 egg whites scrambled with onions, peppers, and mushrooms. One cup of Neiman lion blood upon rising, served fresh and warm. I think he may be kidding about that last one. But it just, like, I know that he's getting the big bucks to play this role and you got to look good. But I just can't imagine if you had to commit so much time and mental energy to how much you have to eat and how much you have to work out to sustain something like that.
Yeah.
It would just be exhausting.
Well, but it's just for the movie. I mean, he doesn't do that all the time. They get into that peak shape for their movies, and then they.
But he seems to go from movie after movie where he's this guy. You know, this is coming off of something else where he had to look incredibly buff too.
Well, he is naturally buff, I think.
I just remember that one time when he was in studio as a guest on the Kevin and Bean, I can't remember which movie it was after, but he came in on a Monday, and his film had just debuted at number one over the weekend, so he was in a celebratory mood. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, Lisa, maybe you remember this, he sent someone down, like intern or something like that, down to get him a candy bar out of the machine in the building.
I don't remember that, but good for him.
It was just shocking to see The Rock eating a candy bar. I mean, I guess he could eat whatever he wants, but
probably
just crazy. How much of a slug do I feel like when I look at what this dude's doing?
That would be just, I mean, you would have trouble eating all of that food. First of all, it's not yummy. That's number one. But just the amount, like slogging through a steak and then another steak and then another steak.
Yes.
It stops being good after a while. And then the fish and the broccoli. Ugh.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible.
It does not look like. That's why it makes the big bucks, I guess. Yes. Mug, how are you feeling about yourself hearing this story?
I don't hold a flame to The Rock.
None of us do.
No.
It's crazy. Anyway, that's the kind of dedication, I guess, that, he seems to be successful in everything he does, whether it's, acting or wrestling or playing football or whatever it is. So,
discipline, man.
I guess it's discipline. I guess that's right. All right. After that rocky start, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. You have a lot of great questions.
Well, thank you very much. I mentioned we have a brand new internet roundup for you, some great videos to introduce you to. That's going to be next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about bad sex stories. You thought it was going great. Hey, it's get lucky time. But wait, what's she doing now? Where did that come from? Wait, where does that go? I mean, there's a lot of things that can be surprises in the bedroom. So we're going to hear your stories on that today.
Okay.
We've got Elijah Wood on the program today, who looks like the creepiest serial killer since Hannibal. This trailer for this new movie, Maniac, just looks terrifying.
I do not like scary movies, but this has a... It looks really like he, from the trailer, it looks like he falls in love and now he's sort of fighting his own demons.
Yeah.
That makes it interesting to me.
I don't know how a woman goes to see this movie after watching the trailer, because it looks like every worst nightmare to have, cute little Frodo look like the real deal, and then all of a sudden he's got a knife,
She's like, you're so romantic.
You're all going to die tonight.
And then that happens, yeah.
He's a good actor. We'll have Elijah Wood on the program today. Ralph is very upset that it looks like they may be trying to take away some of these rent-a-car services, like Uber. Taxi cab drivers are saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not fair.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like a serious topic for us, but we're going to actually have someone on from the Los Angeles Department of Transportation to talk about that today.
Okay.
Because this is a big deal. I mean, this is a service that lots and lots and lots of people use. There are a lot of people who don't like cabs for a number of reasons, and it's nice to have an alternative. And I would just say that, look, Los Angeles, get it together. If you have people who are trying to not drive, and in many cases because they shouldn't drive, don't take that away from them.
Yeah, I agree.
Let them have that. Plus, it's Wednesday. That means Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage, too. That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next here on the world-famous camera.
Baby, 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 right on time.
That one's for you, Ralph. It does have a little Swedish chef touch to it.
Fix your recording equipment, Vampire Weekend.
You're listening to the World Famous K-Rock here on a Wednesday. Don't forget, 9-inch Nails tickets for the upcoming show at Staples Center are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Get those details at K-Rock.com. All this week, we're giving you tickets to get your way in. Best seats in the house, suite at the Marriott, private helicopter ride to the show. It's like it's like being Kevin for a night, right?
Yes, yeah.
Your chance to qualify coming up in the 7 o'clock hour here this morning on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph has the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, some of the cast members of The Sopranos are ticked off at one of their own. You may have read or seen the many interviews that Joe Ganascoli has been doing. He played Vito on The Sopranos.
Oh, right.
He was the...
super fat guy, right?
Yeah. And also was the guy who came out as gay and had to go on run from the mob.
Oh, yeah.
And ended up
That's right.
Johnny Cakes there in Vermont or whatever.
Yeah.
He's been doing a ton of interviews talking about James Gandolfini and their relationship, what it was like to work with him. And the rest of the cast is a little cheesed off because they claim... that he and Gandolfini were not close. In fact, everyone in the cast, including James and creator David Shore, were kind of cheesed off at him because he was constantly grandstanding and trying to get more press for himself and trying to appear on television and worm his way into interviews about the show. So this is typical behavior for this guy, they are claiming. They hadn't really talked since the show went off the air, James and this guy. They said they were not close friends, so this self-promotion and grandstanding is turning a lot of people off of this guy. So it's a shame that he has to try to use a tragedy like this to bolster his public image, but apparently that's what he's doing. And while we're talking about Gandolfini, tonight, Broadway, as is its tradition, will dim the marquees of each of their theaters at 8 p.m. for 1 minute in his honor. Most people know Gandolfini as a TV and film actor. However, he did get a Tony nomination for God of Carnage. He was also in revivals of On the Waterfront and Streetcar Named Desire on Broadway as well. So he has a long Broadway pedigree, and they will be honoring him this evening.
I got to see him in Gods of Carnage. He was amazing.
Yeah, I know he did it out here. Yeah.
Yep.
Lisa, you, as we've discussed in the past, you also dim your lights whenever Broadway does, right? So at 8 o'clock tonight, you'll do the same.
All the lights dim. Okay. Yes.
Dim all the lights, sweet darling. Speaking of Broadway, did you catch Mike Tyson's one-man show, Undisputed Truth, Lisa?
Yes, I did.
When it was on Broadway?
Oh, yes, I did.
Well, good for you. For those of you who didn't, Spike Lee is teaming up with Mike to turn the stage show into an HBO special.
Fantastic.
Good. There'll be some editing.
Hollywood Reporter claims the show was taped in New York City. Will be taped in New York City next month, and then will debut on HBO later this year. So those of you who missed Iron Mike up on the stage will be able to see it on your television.
Your thought, Lisa, was that it was very good, compelling, but needed to be whittled down quite a bit.
It definitely needed some editing.
Why don't you tell that to Mike? Why don't you have a conversation with Mike and tell him that in a locked room somewhere?
Yeah.
And then see what
happens.
Maybe
I won't.
Maybe
do that.
You won't. That's
Mike,
were
you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You
my
broke
back is broken.
What a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal
part of the back.
He is very charming though and sweet on stage.
You want him?
You know, there was a part of me that was attracted. I have to admit,
you like it rough.
He does seem like the sweetest convicted rapist ever.
Right, exactly.
Miley Cyrus is causing some people to think about her behavior. She was upset with the paparazzi. She had an ugly run-in with the paparazzi photographer. So she takes the photo of the guy's car and then posts it on her Twitter account with her invitation of her 12 million followers. Feel free to ram this guy off the road.
Ooh,
that may be
that
a
might
little
come back
line.
And bite her in the ass.
Yeah.
God forbid somebody actually does that, and then who's held accountable?
Yeah.
Hannah Montana.
Yeah, that does seem like you're kind of inciting. That's the inciting a riot clause is what that is.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to incite violence for someone else because then you might go inside. Ozzy Osbourne and his wife Sharon apparently in love again.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
They hit a rough patch last month when Ozzy fell off the wagon, but apparently he is sober again. They are more in love than ever. And according to Star Magazine, they want to celebrate their 31st anniversary that's coming up by renewing their vows. Another wedding. Which, for Ozzy, will be his first, as far as he remembers. And congratulations to Under the Dome on CBS. Huge numbers for the Monday night debut of the miniseries. 13 million viewers tuned in to watch Under the Dome, the first episode. Those are huge numbers.
That's tightrope over the Grand Canyon numbers.
Most watched summer premiere on any network on television since 1992.
Wow.
So the biggest numbers for a network debuting a show debuting in the summertime since the early 90s.
That's
now, does that speak, Ralph, in your opinion, to the popularity of Stephen King, the popularity of that book already having been a bestseller?
I do. Those are
crazy numbers.
Yeah, it's great. And people have heard a lot of good things about it. It was a great word of mouth before it even debuted. So
I did DVR it. Have not seen it yet, but I do have it. Looking forward to it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Big list of very talented people this week. This day, rather. I was surprised by how many cool people were born today. Aubrey Plaza is 29 years old today.
Love her
so much.
She's lovely. She's funny. She's got the goods. Mick Jones of The Clash is 58. Chris Isaak, 57 years old today. Singer Patti Smyth is 56. Terry Nunn of Berlin.
Wow. All right. I love her. Twins.
She's 52 years old today. Colin Greenwood, bassist for Radiohead, is 44. Writer and director Paul Thomas Anderson is 43 years old, as is actor Sean Hayes from Will and Grace. You probably know him best. Chris O'Donnell is 43 as well. Actor Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation is 43. Nathan Followill of Kings of Leon is 34. And the show's good friend Jason Schwartzman celebrates his 33rd birthday today.
Oh, Jason.
Happy birthday, Jason. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I feel like it will never be that cold again in Southern California. Is today the day that it's supposed to be like 105, Lisa?
It's going to be warm, yes.
118 in Phoenix today.
Oh,
that's the prediction,
God.
By the way. 118 is what they're calling for.
Wow.
So no sweaters necessary. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday morning on the world-famous Carrick. Brand new internet roundup coming up later on in the hour. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
What a great way to start your day with lots of good, juicy death stories, huh?
Yes.
Here's one from West Texas. I don't know. This is just one of those, like, freak accidents that you can't believe happened. But a man was goofing around the bull statue at the Texas Tech University campus. You've seen statues like this. They're giant. They're life-size or a little bigger, like the one they have on Wall Street of the bull there. Mm-hmm. Well, he's playing hide-or-seek with some friends, running around the statue, lost his balance, and got impaled by one of the horns on the statue, and it pierced his chest.
Oh, my God.
Like, in a million years, how could something like that happen? He just happened to trip over one of the lights. He lost his balance and went straight down on one of the horns, said a witness. Campus police say he was at the school with two adults and two other minors when police were called to the scene. They were running around the National Ranching Heritage Museum on the Texas Tech campus when the horn pierced his chest. We extend heartfelt sympathies to the man's family and friends after this tragic accident. Anytime unforeseen accidents occur, we review our policies, practices, and even facilities to determine if any changes are needed to avoid similar incidents in the future. I don't think the school should really have to worry about people running into the horns of a statue and dying.
What do you bet they take it down?
That's what I was thinking. I was just wondering, because one dumbass wasn't paying attention. I wonder if they'll take down that thing that's probably been there for 100 years.
I bet they will.
Moving on in Death Corner, here's a horrific video. I couldn't even watch this, but wow. A grandmother going down an escalator at a supermarket in China. There are two men behind her on the escalator. This is in Shanghai. And they had loaded up a cart. They had bought 15 cases of beer on this cart. And they tried to take that down an escalator. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to move something down an escalator that's way too heavy, but you have gravity working against you. It's pulling it down, and they lost control of the trolley, and it's on video. You can see it just rocketing down the escalator. This poor woman is at the bottom completely unaware. It just mows her down and smashes her into a wall, and she's dead.
Oh, God.
Who in a million years ever thinks going down an escalator that you have to worry about basically a runaway freight train coming from behind you?
Oh, that's the worst. I always worry about, like, clothes getting caught in the escalator.
Yes, yes. You know, it's happened to me two different times. Thank God nobody died, but two different times I have been at shopping centers where police and security and ambulances and everything else had to be called because kids got their clothing caught in an escalator. We're stuck in an escalator. It's very, very scary.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting story that involves somebody who died in the 1880s. There's an Iowa man who was auctioning off, well, actually selling. He was selling a coffin. There was a coffin that was in one of these service organization buildings. You know, there's, you know, like the Elks or the Fraternal Order of the Eagles. There's one called the International Order of Odd Fellows, and they're behind on their taxes. So they were looking for things they could sell to raise taxes. Well, they had this coffin that was in the building where they hold their meetings. And they had used it to, you know, to represent death at various ceremonies that they had. And the coffin has been there forever and ever and ever. So he advertised it online because he wanted to sell it. He estimated it would be worth around $10,000, this antique coffin. Well, the police noticed in the picture that he put up online that there was a human skeleton in the coffin.
What?
And, of course, you're not allowed to sell human bodies. So they're like, hey, what up? So they went and talked to the guy, and they're like, I don't know, it's been there as long as anyone can remember.
It had no one's ever bothered to find out who it is?
It had been donated by a doctor in the 1880s. It had been in this International Order of Odd Fellows home, this hall where they hold their meetings, since then. And I guess they basically said, look, you can sell the coffin, but we have to identify these bones. We got to take the bones away from you. They're not part of the deal. You can't sell them. And he said, that's fine. I just want to sell the coffin. But how weird that that random dude has been laying in that building all this time, right? No one knows who he is.
And they didn't care.
Yeah, and they didn't care, exactly.
That's a little creepy.
And finally, on this edition of Bean's Death Corner, this one is lost. This one is one that I can't find. Oh, here we go. This one is also in China. I can't even imagine how this happened. A woman tragically killed her husband and herself while backing up her car in an underground parking garage. Their six-year-old daughter was inside the car, by the way. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. 41-year-old driver, surnamed Lynn, got her driver's license in May. She was practicing backing up into a parking space in the parking garage. She's driving a Lexus SUV. Her husband's standing behind her, Lisa, directing her.
Okay.
She backed up too far, pinned him against the wall. He screams. She sticks her head out the window and intends to pull away from him, freeing him. And instead, she went backwards. Not only did she smash him against the wall, killing him instantly with this Lexus coming at him from, you know, from in front, but she also, with her head out the window, managed to jam her head against the side of the garage wall and her car.
Oh, no.
Her head is outside the car. She hits reverse, kills her husband, smashes her head up against the wall. Rescue teams arrived shortly thereafter, but she died from sustained injuries in a nearby hospital. The couple's six-year-old daughter saw the entire tragedy unfold from inside the car. Unbelievable story. She, by the way, had successfully parked in that space once before that day, but her husband said, "You still need the practice, honey." So he had gotten out to help her, to guide her into that parking space.
He is a nudge, and he got what he deserved.
Well, I don't know about that, but two people killed just because she's trying to back into a parking space. That's not the way you want to go.
Aww.
That is not ideal, but this is an all-new Kevin and Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, you can win tickets to the KRX screening of The Lone Ranger. See it before it hits theaters. Also, the 19th annual Hootenanny Festival is coming up, too. We got tickets for that down in Irvine, so stick around. First, though, speaking of festivals, I asked my man Dave, the King of Mexico, the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, to join us. Dave, you were just in Las Vegas over the weekend for this Electric Daisy Carnival Festival?
Yes, sir.
EDC, I know it's a big event that you look forward to every year. What goes on there for folks who don't know? Is it all over the city or just held in one place?
It's at the Las Vegas Speedway, mm-hmm. and it's like its own little city. There's about 125,000 people there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and they're all wearing fairy wings and have weird makeup, and chicks are wearing less clothes than ever. It's awesome.
And yeah. it goes 24 hours a day, right, basically?
Sort of. It's from like 7 p.m. to 5 a.m., so there's that. I mean, but the yeah. sun does come up, and you see it's like a vampire. Like, everyone looks like a vampire because everyone's like covering their eyes and running for cover.
Now, you survived the weekend, although you were in pretty rough shape on Monday when you came back.
Barely, but,
Kevin planned it out perfectly because he's on vacation this week. So he was able to go to EDC and just not even think about, hey, I have to be a human on Monday, right?
Yeah.
What kind of shape was he in the last time you saw him?
Well, the last I saw him, he was, I think, passing out on the car. He had no voice. And I told him, hey, man, I'm going to a pool party at a strip club tomorrow. Are you in? He's like, of course. Called him. Never heard from him ever again. So, I hope our man's alive.
I do, too. Well, we thought we'd check in because he's halfway, this is a halfway point, today being Wednesday, of the vacation. So we thought maybe his assistant, Linus, who we love talking to at the Kevin and Bean Show, might give us some sort of an update on what we missed since you last saw him early Sunday morning. Linus, how are you, my friend?
Hello, this is Linus, personal assistant of Kevin at the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, the other one. Hello, the woman. Hello, the Mexican.
Hi, Linus.
Well, Linus, always great to talk to you. I can't believe you're still working for Kevin. It seems like that'd be a full-time and very difficult job
for
you.
It is a full-time job, and it's very rewarding. I love this job, and I'm never leaving it because I love being the personal assistant of Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay, so you were in Las Vegas then with Kevin, so whatever he needed while he was there for the EDC, you were able to help him out with, right?
Yes, but we're still in Las Vegas. Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show is still on vacation, and we decided to vacation here in Las Vegas, one of his favorite places in the world, and we're still here.
Okay, so you're still in Las Vegas. So now that the thing is over, now that the music's done, what's Kevin doing?
Kevin is enjoying his vacation, as he should, because he is the Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, and he was what makes the Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show Kevin. And
well, he is the hardest working guy I know.
He is relaxing. He is recuperating from the festival. He's having an excellent week. First, we had to get some energy back in him, so he does what he does on every vacation week. We had him, his blood was transfused with the blood of virgin albinos.
An actual blood transfusion? That seems like a lot of work.
We gather up virgin albinos, which are very difficult to find, by the way.
I bet they are.
No expense to Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the one thing about being a multi-million-dollar radio personality is you can gather up all the virgin albinos you can find, and then we drain them of their blood, and we inject that blood into Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. That gives him lots of energy for the remainder of his vacation week.
Okay, so then what does he do? Like, in Las Vegas, is he just gambling or drinking or what?
Of course he's gambling and drinking. Those are two of his favorite activities. But also, because he's in Vegas, he's taking advantage of some of the local attractions and entertaining himself and his wife. Of course, Mrs. Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. And what he did, first of all, was he dug up the bones of Liberace and had them animated electronically so that it plays piano for him 24 hours a day.
Wait, the actual bones of the real Liberace are now playing the piano for Kevin?
Yes, after watching that movie on HBO, he was very intrigued by Liberace, and so he bought the bones of Liberace and had them animated by the people at DreamWorks, and they put together an animatronic skeleton of Liberace that now plays piano for him constantly.
That sounds incredibly expensive, but as you said, money's no object.
Money is no object to the Kevin of Kevin and Bean Show, because he is Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, and he's enjoying himself in Las Vegas. Of course, he's spending also a lot of time with Spike the Dog.
I don't understand. What's Spike the Dog?
Spike the Dog is with Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. When he decides to get some new underwear, he takes puppies and he sprays them with solid gold. And he puts them in a confined space and puts on some golf cleats and starts stomping them until he has spiked all the dogs.
Oh, whatever
dogs that he has spiked, he gets to keep, and then it's woven into golden puppy hair underwear for him.
That's the worst.
He calls Spike the Dog. Some people think he has a dog called Spike, but no, it's a game. He calls Spike the Dog, and he spikes them and then wears their underwear, and then he tosses it away.
That's the worst. He just wears them once per time.
He only wears the underwear once. That's correct.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
How dare
please
you? How
stop
dare
him.
You, sir? Kevin at the Kevin Abbey Show is a humanitarian, and he donates all the puppy meat to a local homeless shelter.
Okay.
So they're able to have puppy stew for weeks. You know nothing of charity, sir, like Kevin of the Kevin Abbey Show.
This is awful. I don't want to have anything to do with puppy stew, Lytus. We got to go.
And, of course, as he does every holiday, he murdered a drifter.
Well, that's just good fun, though, right?
That is a good time.
There are lots of reasons you should be checking out KROQ.com and KevinandBean.com. New stuff goes up all the time. For instance, if you missed Matt and Kim in the Red Bull Sound Space a few days ago, you can see some video from that. You can see listen to the interview with Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. He was on a couple days ago. If you missed Petrus and Ralph doing the Bachelorette report from yesterday, that's up there too at KevinandBean.com. But the reason we draw your attention to the site today is it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We collect the best viral videos of the week, put them in one handy location so that you don't have to go searching. You don't have to waste all the time like we do. And we got a great batch for you today. Here's one that a guy edited together, and I think this is interesting. He's making some sort of a comment about shows like American Idol and like The Voice because they do find talent. But they only find a particular kind of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the most popular recording artists in the world, people that we play on this radio station, people that you love, would never, never make it through past the first round on a show like The Voice. So what he has done is he has taken video of John Lennon playing an acoustic guitar version of Imagine and thought about, well, he imagined what it would be like if he were a contestant on The Voice.
What's your name, bro?
John Lennon.
It was the verses seemed a little too dramatic for me.
I'm just beginning.
It's just the beginning.
So Usher's like, hey, don't worry, man. It's just the beginning. Keep trying. Keep working at it. You'll be fine. And by the way, they tease on that video that Bob Dylan is going to be coming up next to try to make it. There's no way in hell Bob Dylan gets any judges to push a button, right?
He'd be booed.
Game of Thrones. This is very funny, by the way. Someone has imagined there's a whole series of what it would be like if movies were made by different directors or with different actors. Because let's face it, those are excellent. Those are choices that need to be right in order for a movie to be right. And they imagined what it would be like if Game of Thrones, instead of starring the people that we know and love from the HBO show, actually starred Zooey Deschanel, Michael Cera, and Aubrey Plaza instead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the show has the same gravitas. Listen up.
Take my hand.
This wall is dumb, and these pelts are super itchy. I hate this. I hate you. I want to go home.
Ygritte, take my hand, or you will die.
What a coincidence. I was just wishing I were dead.
I would still love it, because I like Aubrey Plaza in anything, by the way. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very funny. You have to check that out. Here's a great video, especially if you are afraid of spiders like this weather person is. Her name is Christy, and she's standing in front of the blue screen, and I guess somehow a spider gets onto the camera lens. So the spider's not anywhere near her. It's like 40 feet away on the camera lens, but it's being projected onto the blue screen behind her so she can see it. Again, she's in no danger, but listen to how she freaks out when this spider shows up on screen.
And for our area. So let's... Oh, my gosh. That was creepy. Oh, of course he had to be right on my head. Oh, I just don't like that. Okay, I gotta move.
Come on.
And the other people who are working on the newscast, they're like, you know, the spider is nowhere near you, right? It's totally fine. And she's just running around the set trying to get away from it because it's the shadow of a spider. Speaking of TV, this is awesome. This is a reporter in Walla Walla, Washington. She's doing a stand-up report on some sort of a strawberry festival or something like that. And I guess what happened is they uploaded the wrong take. So she was filming in the, you know, out in the field, and she screwed up the one take and then did it again. But they uploaded the wrong one where she unfortunately said a couple of F-bombs, and you should see and hear the anchor's reaction back in the studio when this happens.
I do have to tell you, it's worth the drive and worth fighting this rain condition. Me, I can't even talk.
All right, well, we definitely apologize for that editing error in that story.
Oh, my God.
The look on the face of the woman back in the studio, her eyes just get big as saucers, and she realizes that the F word has just gone out over the TV. It's so
twice.
Funny. Yes, so funny. Talking about a brand new Kevin and Bean internet roundup here on the world-famous K-Rock this morning. This video is called How to Treat Depression, and it starts out with about 2 minutes of very sad people looking down at the floor, talking about how they got no motivation, they got no reason to live, they can't figure out how to navigate life, it's just too tough, and then somebody makes a suggestion they hadn't thought of before.
Have you heard of pizza?
No. What's pizza?
What do I...
You put it in your mouth. I feel alive. I don't know whether to eat it or
pizza. You don't know if you want to eat it or
See, there you go. If you're depressed, just pizza. That's all you need to get out of that. Barack Obama, the latest video of him singing a popular song. I don't know who has the time to go through all the president's speeches and find every word that you need, but they've done it again. This time he's singing Daft Punk's Get Lucky.
She's up all night till the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good luck. I'm up all night to get lucky. We're up all night till the sun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good luck. We're up all night to get lucky.
Our friends in Honest Trailers are back. You know, with all the talk about a sequel being made to Independence Day, they went back to the original. This movie's about 15 years old now, and it's been a long time since I've seen it, and I think they make some pretty good points here.
The film that answered whether we're alone in the universe by stealing from all the other films that answered whether we're alone in the universe. Featuring the premise from War of the Worlds, the aliens from Alien, the spaceships from V, the dogfights from Star Wars, the Statue of Liberty from Planet of the Apes, and the Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
Must go faster. Must go faster. Must go faster.
I forgot how hyper Jeff Goldblum is in that movie, too, by the way. It's very funny. Two more videos for the Internet Roundup this week, both from our good friend Jimmy Kimmel, late nights on ABC television. He's got a video that's called Sausage Party, and it's basically he invites a lot of his friends over from the show. Cleto, his band leader, is there, and, of course, Cousin Sal is there. And they all come over and do all sorts of manly things. In fact, when cheerleaders come and knock on the door, Jimmy slams the door in the face because, well, they shouldn't be at a sausage party.
Backyard wrestling, Call of Duty, Crossing Swords, Fantasy Football, Marco Polo, Allison Chains, Whittling.
Perhaps the first ever reference to whittling in a music video. I just very surprised by that. That song's going to be very popular at Mike Catherwood pool parties over the weekend or over the summer, whatever. Yeah. Sausage Party from Jimmy Kimmel. And finally, we close with This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
When I broke up with him, that's when he wanted to slap a con in my face. Impressive first impressions. How to walk into a room and get anyone to you instantly.
Andrea Mitchell in our D.C. newsroom s***ing us off again tonight. Andrea, thanks.
People living in one Portland area town are forming a c*** block neighborhood watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been f***ing Eric Spolscher today. I'd have f***ed him last night at center court in front of everybody.
That is a great batch. You can catch it all at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Listen, next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we will hook you up with tickets for Nine Inch Nails at Staples Center. They go on sale Friday morning at 10. Get those details at KROQ.com. Ralph's here. Yeah. Time for the showbiz beat now on a Wednesday.
Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean
then
whatever?
Later in the show, you know what we're going to give you tickets for?
What?
That is coming up also. Hey, what day are you coming in to play that for us on the spoons, Ralph?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe Friday. Maybe Friday, a little special movie beat.
That'd be fun. Yeah. I'd love it.
Lone Ranger coming out.
Can you play anything else on the spoons, or is that your one party trick?
I don't know. I haven't played a spoon in a while. I got to see what my repertoire is like, because it is limited. There's only so many spoon-friendly songs.
Spoon Man, though, is one of them, right?
No, actually. Ironically, it's not.
Really?
Yeah. Popcorn is one, though.
I think we're going to need a concert. We're going to a whole show for Ralph growing on the spoons.
I am not in concert shape. I need weeks of rehearsal. And
well, you got
to get
a couple of days.
The tech team together, and we have to work on the production values before I can mount a show. I'm like the Trent Reznor of spoons.
I see.
Speaking of music, here's a shock. Tom Morello is speaking out against the government.
What?
Yay! Rage Against the Machine guitarist is upset with the Obama administration because he calls the NSA leaker Edward Snowden a hero.
I thought Tom was more of a, hey, dude, everything's cool, just roll with the flow. If the government says it, it's probably right.
Really? You thought he was that kind of guy?
That's the impression I got from Mr. Morello.
You might want to open up a blog. He is a hero for exposing that the government's spying on us, Tom said. Tom is going further than just speaking out. He's putting his money where his mouth is. He said he will personally pay for Edward Snowden to fly to South America and live a happy life in Ecuador. So he is volunteering to pay the freight for Mr. Snowden to escape jurisdiction. So.
I know a lot of our listeners are pothead losers who don't follow the news, but it is a fascinating discussion about whether this guy is a hero or a traitor, and what the responsibility is of a citizen, what the rights are of a citizen if they're exposing something that they honestly believe is is government injustice. I mean, it really does bring up some very interesting questions that makes this story just impossible to not pay attention to, I think.
The one thing about this guy that interests me and to a certain extent confuses me. You're a smart guy, B. Maybe you can enlighten me. But I didn't understand why when he left the country, he was then like, hey, look at me. Woohoo. Over here. I'm here. Woohoo. Can't get me. Look at me. Why didn't he just like disappear? If it was just exposing that secret government plan to look at our phone records, why didn't he just do it and then just disappear?
Yeah, because he never would have had a better time, a more anonymous time than before the whistleblowing to just evaporate into the world and be done with all this. I don't understand why it is either. I mean, basically what he's doing is saying, hey, U.S. government, catch me if you can.
Right. Can't catch me. Nani, nani, boo, boo.
And by the way, considering they knew where he was for a while in Hong Kong, it's surprising to me that they weren't able to keep eyes on him. Like, how can they not track one guy when they know who he is?
Where are your drones now, Barack?
Right, exactly.
Weak-ass drones. I don't know. I don't know much about anything, so I'm just confused by that fact. I think somehow, for some reason, he seemed like he wanted to bring attention to himself.
Right.
Whether for publicity's sake or ego or point to be made, perhaps. Maybe he wants to make himself the poster child. Or maybe he thought by being very public it would make him less likely to be taken out by a sniper.
That's possible.
Maybe so,
again,
too.
And he's gotten some international help now.
Yeah, so.
And by the way, one other PS, and then we'll move on, is please spend a little time investigating his hot yoga instructor girlfriend that he left in Hawaii, by the way. Have you seen her?
Yeah, she's aight.
The most flexible woman in the world.
She's aight. We just heard from Linus, Kevin's personal assistant, last hour.
Boy, poor Linus. Got a lot to do, man.
Sounds like Kevin's having a good time in Vegas. I wouldn't be surprised if he picks up Liberace's mansion. It is
apparently, he already owns his bones.
It's up for grabs. Yeah, why not put the bones in the mansion where they belong?
Sure.
This tells you about something about the tragic state of real estate in the state of Nevada right now. At one time, Vegas was like the most quickly growing city in the nation. Now, they have just home after home after apartment building of just housing that no one is living in.
They have more foreclosures.
Yeah. I think they're what, like 70% underwater houses in Las Vegas right now.
One of Liberace's mansions is for sale, the one near University of Las Vegas. If you want to go there and go to school, maybe you can pick up this house to live in with a couple of your buddies. It only has two bedrooms, but it has 10 bathrooms. lots of space to entertain, including several party rooms and ballrooms. One party room is made up, the floor is made up entirely of piano keys.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Well, this can be yours for $500,000.
That's it?
$500,000.
Really?
You can't get an apartment for that in Los Angeles.
It's unbelievable.
You can own Liberace's house for $500,000.
Bean?
That is, I must own that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Go get it. We'll party there.
Move your dad in.
Does it still have Matt Damon's blood on it? Do we know?
I don't believe that's still there. I think they cleaned that up. They sent some people.
To dream.
Oh, there he is.
The impossible dream.
Yes. I wish my brother George was here.
To be better far than you are.
Yes.
To try when your arms are too weary.
That's right, Lee.
To
sing it if you know it.
An unreachable star.
His penis never got too weary. We know that much.
This is my quest. Follow that star.
All right,
I think I may have to buy that house. That sounds awesome.
You may have to as well. Add it to your collection.
Sure.
And Farrah Abraham is in the news.
Farrah Abramson?
Yeah, yeah. Backdoor teen mom. She is very excited. She was showing off her diploma.
No, those were her breast implants.
No, these are different photos.
Oh.
Photos of TMZ on TMZ.com of her proudly displaying her certificate of completion for her alcohol education course. This report was part of her plea deal for driving under the influence. She is just beaming, showing off the certificate, saying that she fulfilled her obligation of going to booze class.
Diploma she's ever gotten or will ever get.
It's the only one she'll ever have. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bunch of big talent people born today on June the 26th. Aubrey Plaza is 29 years old today. Her co-star from Parks and Recreation, Nick Offerman, is 43. Nathan Folwell of Kings of Leon is 34 years old today. Sean Hayes, Chris O'Donnell, and Paul Thomas Anderson all turned 43. Colin Greenwood of Radiohead is 44. Terry Nunn of the 80s band Berlin. I always liked that band.
Yeah.
So did Rodney. She's 52. Patti Smythe, speaking of 80s band, she was in Scandal. Remember them? 56
sure.
years old today. Chris Isaak is 57. Mick Jones of The Clash is 58. And our buddy, excellent actor and all-around good guy, Jason Schwartzman, celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Suicide Blonde. I was thinking on any number of songs from the 80s, that sounds exactly like. That could have been a Frankie Goes to Hollywood song, but it is
any
Muse.
Any NXS song.
And any NXS song, yeah. Muse Panic Station here on the world-famous K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Ralph is here to talk about his new boyfriend, his new movie crush, Armie Hammer.
Oh, he's so dreamy. Oh, damn, he's so dreamy. I said this at Hollywood Babylon last week, and I think we need to finally remove the stigma about men having sex with other men, because there's a couple guys I would just destroy. Like,
look,
Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer. We're living in a golden age of just beautiful leading men in the movies, I'll tell you right now.
The reality is that there are humans that are attractive to other humans, men or women.
Yes.
There's some people who just transcend, oh, that's a person who's only for another person.
And Army's one of those.
And Army's a good-looking man.
Dreamy.
Suck my third nipple, bitch.
That's right. That's what I would do if he had one.
Now, folks probably know him best for playing for the Winklevoss twins.
Right.
Was that their name? We're on the Social Network. But now he's...
He was on Reaper, too. He played the devil's other son.
That's right.
On Reaper.
Now he's the Lone Ranger, so everybody's going to know Armie Hammer. But the reason we're talking about him is not because he's dreamy, but because he's in the news with a topic that I know is of particular interest to you, Mr. Garman.
I was fascinated when he did this story with Elle Magazine, and he's mentioned a few other places. Before he married his lovely wife, now that he currently is with, he lived the life of the bachelor, and he's a great-looking, rich, talented actor in Hollywood. I can imagine he had his fair share of the ladies. And one of these ladies, according to Armie, they were in bed together, and things were getting hot and passionate, and she looked at him and said, you know, true love leaves scars, and you don't have any. And that's when she promptly pulled out a butcher knife and tried to stab him during sex.
What?
That's right, Lisa. You
no.
heard me. She tried to damage that perfect body.
Oh, my God.
Unacceptable.
What's the thinking behind people who want to stab you when they're having sex? That is a sexual turn-on?
Well, my guess is she was crazy.
That bitch was crazy. No, but
so
you
I'm
know
not
what
looking
I mean.
For her motivation because she's mental.
Right, but there are people who are into that. I mean, just, you know, like the people who do the serious choking. I mean, there are people who get a thrill off of there being an element of danger, of an element of will this person die while we're doing it.
And
right?
I can hang with that. If that's what your thing is, I can work with you on that. What I can't handle is you plunging any sort of cutlery into my chest at any time. That won't fly in bed.
Well, it's not sexy.
No, it's not.
It's definitely going to end things quickly,
too. The opposite. Well, the funny thing about the story is my favorite part is this girl must have been just amazing in bed because she was crazy. Because he said he quickly broke up with the girl 7 months later after that incident. So
that wasn't a deal breaker.
Apparently not. That's how hot and crazy she was.
So we got talking off the air. Now we want to bring it on the air and invite you to give us a call with bad sex surprises.
Yes.
You guys are making out, or things are progressing even further than that. It's sexy time is happening, and you think all's well. And then he or she suggests or does something that you did not see coming.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're a little taken aback by, a little bit surprised by.
It doesn't even have to be a sex thing. Sometimes people will bring up things during sex that are completely unrelated to sex that are
That's right.
Make you slam on the brakes and say, I'm sorry, what? What did you just say?
We've heard stories in the past, and feel free to call at 1-800-520-1067. If it was something that they were doing because they thought it was sexy, it was a turn on to them, or if it was just the opposite of that for you because all of a sudden they start talking about, hey, I gotta pay my taxes, or all of a sudden they take a phone call from mom. I mean, whatever it is that happened, it was a bad surprise in the moment.
Or they say, this is a great way to celebrate my 16th birthday. That's the bad sex surprise. That's not what you want to hear when you're in the middle.
I'm bored!
You don't
want to
hear that? You don't want to hear I'm bored, her screaming I'm bored in the throes of passion.
You don't want to hear it. Anybody calling out the wrong name, perhaps, is something that would not be fun, right?
You're better than your dad. It's not a comment you want to hear during sex. It's a bad sex surprise.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number. I don't have it in front of me, but I saw an article the other day, Ralph, about a woman who was dating a guy, and she thought this was it. Of course, most women, they fall in love and picture they're going to marry you after the first date anyway. That's just how chicks are.
Oh, stop it.
But she really believed that this was the one. This guy was good-looking guy, had a great job, was really polite and respectful and a great conversationalist, and they had gone out and he wasn't moving fast, like he wasn't just trying to nail her. They went out on, you know, half a dozen dates or something like that, and then finally he invites her up to his country house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's thinking, well, this is it, I'm going to the country house for the weekend. They have a romantic dinner with the wine and the food. Mm-hmm. They get undressed, get into the hot tub, and he says to her, do you have your cell phone? And she's like, it's in the other room. What? Why? And he says, well, I thought you might want to call a girl to come over and join us. Okay.
Aww.
They've never done it before. He's tried to get a threesome going for their first time. That's
Jeez.
A. B is, because I'm impotent and I can't really do anything, so I would really just like to watch you guys.
No, really?
Now, is that the definition of bad sex surprise?
Yes.
Yes, I think it is. That's a double whammy. First of all, you're not going to get a whammy, a single. You're not going to get a single whammy because he can't step up to bat.
Right.
And then he wants to add more players to the game.
Yeah, I think it may be trouble when you haven't done it yet and he's already looking for a way to turn it into a threesome.
And that's a first aid conversation. That's not an in the hot tub conversation. You got to give that girl some heads up what she's getting into early on, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, don't string her on for 6 dates before she finds out.
Yeah.
All right, let's take one call before the break. 1-800-520-1067. Then we want to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, on bad sex surprises. Something that happened during sexy time that you were not expecting and maybe weren't crazy about, but now it's a funny story. Let's talk to Michael. He'll get us going here. He is on line 5. Hi, Michael. Thanks for listening and calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, thanks, guys. How's it going? Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Good, Michael. What was your bad sex surprise?
Well, me and my best friend, we went to go see a couple of girls. It was his girlfriend and her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But we started getting it on in the bathroom while they're in the living room. And she tells me to pull her hair.
Not an uncommon request by some women.
But when I went and pulled her hair, about a handful of her hair came out.
What?
Oh.
How hard did you pull?
Well, I guess she had extensions.
Oh, no.
So I just went ahead and kind of shocked. I don't think she knew, so I just laid it back down on her head.
I'll just put that back. And you have any glue?
That's a perfect example of a bad sex surprise. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Vanessa, you hang on. We'll get to you first right after the break. We'll be back in a moment on the camera.
Hey, it's the greatest hits of the 80s here on K-Rock.
Kind of is. Welcome to Jack FM. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Actually, on K-Rock, actor Elijah Wood joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. This new film, Maniac, just looks terrifying.
Just horrible. But
right now, speaking of terrifying, we're talking about sex surprises here on the Kevin Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. We started off by talking about actor Armie Hammer from The Lone Ranger saying a woman pulled a knife and wanted to stab him during sex. That's what got us talking about the topic. Let's go to Vanessa. You'll find she's on line four. You'll find out that not all sex surprises are necessarily that scary, but it doesn't mean they're not unsettling. Hi, Vanessa. Thanks for calling and holding on. What happened to you?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
I'm so excited. Well, it was, I went out with some friends from college, and then we're drinking all night, and my birthday was going to be 2 days after, and so I'm hanging out with one of the guys, and then we ended up going home to his house, and we're there, you know, we're making out, and then I just decide kind of like to let him into the back door, and I'm just like, do you have any lube? And he's like, oh, yeah, I think I have some. Mm-hmm. And he starts looking around his room, and all the lights are off. And then he puts them on me, right? And then it starts burning really bad. And then he looks at it. And then it ended up being hand sanitizer.
Oh, no.
Oh,
that's
God,
not a part of your body where you necessarily want something with alcohol in it, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my God. I think I shed a few tears. And, you know, I don't need to say that the ride back home was pretty awkward.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
It's hard to stand up in the back seat.
Ouch.
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not. Thank you, Vanessa, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try
Jack. Although if there's an area of your body you want to sanitize, that's probably the one, though, in retrospect. So,
Jack's on line five. He's up next for scary, perhaps unusual sex surprises on the Kevin Beach. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, Lisa May. Hey,
hello.
Guys.
Hey,
Jack.
Well, my sex surprise was I was with this girl, you know, been trying to go at her for a while, and so we're doing our thing, and I'm trying to be super sensual and sexy and kissing her feet and everything, and and I'm sucking on her toes, and next thing I know, I'm sucking on a nub. She was missing a toe.
And,
you know, and it put me in shock, and I stopped and kind of screamed a little bit, you know, I'm like, did I bite it off or something? But, you know, I just was freaking out, and she kind of looked at me like nothing. She goes, oh, you know, I lost it when I was a girl on a bicycle accident. She got stuck between the chain and the spoke.
Ouch.
But, you know, now, I mean, she could have told me something.
Yeah, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing, but you're right. Maybe you should have had a little forward.
If you're heading towards the feet, a heads up.
Yeah.
My stomp, my lovely little stomp. Amputee.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate that. Let's go. Yeah, missing body parts definitely falls into sex surprises. Let's go to Lisa. Lisa is up next. She is on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi, I was in my 20s. I was dating some guy. I met him at work. He always used to comment on my shoes. Oh, I like your shoes. And I thought he was just being nice. Second date, we go to dinner. Afterwards, we're making out. In the middle of making out and being all touchy-feely, he tells me, bust my lip. And I said, excuse me? No, baby, bust my lip. What do you mean, bust your lip?
Is that a euphemism for something?
I want you to kick me in the lip and bust my lip.
Oh, my gosh. So he wanted you to hurt him bad.
With those shoes.
He said he wanted me to kick him bad enough that it would draw blood.
Yeah, that's hot.
Now, is that a foot fetish, Ralph? What's going on there?
Oh, that's a combination of things. Obviously, there's a foot thing going on. There's a violence thing, a sadomasochism thing going on.
He sounds like a cat.
He's multi-layered. He's like an onion. You got to peel off the layers on this guy.
Lisa, what'd you do?
I hightailed it out of there. I'm like, thanks for dinner. I got to go.
Yeah.
I never saw him again. Quit my job. It was time to quit that job anyway.
Change my name. Move to another country.
Now we just joke around with my friends. I'm like, remember that guy? Bust my lip, baby. So, yeah.
You are a lip tease. You took his dinner and then wouldn't finish. You wouldn't kick him in the face like he wanted.
At least it wasn't me getting kicked in the face.
Well, yeah, for sure.
What are you, uptight? All right, Lisa, thanks for the call. Let's go to Sarah. She's on line three with a very awkward sex surprise. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So I had the biggest crush on my high school science teacher, and we didn't date in high school. He waited until I was in college. He asked me out. We went out for some drinks, went back to his place, making out, getting some good heavy session, and he lets out the biggest, smelliest fart I have ever heard
Come on.
No. So for like a split second, it slipped through my mind, so I let it go. Because I'm like so enamored by him.
Right.
And I was like, no, deal breaker. I got to go. And he's like, no, baby. Come.
So did you just get up and walk out and say, I'm sorry, you blew it?
I was like, I paused and I looked at him and I was like, are you serious?
Can we do without the sound effects?
And he tried to blame it on his cat. And then he was like, no, just come to bed. We'll do like the whole over-under thing. And I was like, I got to go.
No, because you don't want to open yourself up to the Dutch oven. You don't want to give yourself that exactly. potential.
All right, Sarah, thanks for the call.
He could have excused himself to the restroom and then come back.
Something. Especially right. the first time.
Or open a window. Something. Okay, we know.
As long as even one of the Ramones is still alive, we're going to continue to play that song. Classic on the K-Rock Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. Congratulations to Susanna Rucobo from Pico Rivera. She won tickets to go see Nine Inch Nails at Staples Center. That show doesn't happen until November the 8th, but tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Plus, she is also qualified to win the private helicopter ride to the show, a suite at the JW Marriott, and the best seats in the house. Nine Inch Nails tickets all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Lisa, you ever look at those Forbes lists that they come out with of the wealthiest people in the world?
Yes, and I wonder, how did they get all that money?
I think it's so fascinating. And the one thing I'll say about Forbes is my understanding is that they do everything they can to make those lists as accurate as possible. I mean, they are a business publication and they dig as deep as they can. Now, there are some people who manage to, you know, shelter some of that wealth or are not very forthcoming. They don't agree to have their, you know, have their bank accounts made public. But Forbes does the best job they can at estimating if they don't know exactly. And that's why I was really surprised to see this story. There's a prince in Saudi Arabia whose name is Awalid bin Talal. He's one of the wealthiest people in the world. In fact, even Forbes says that he is the 26th wealthiest person in the world. They estimated his fortune at over $20 billion. What do you think his reaction was to that? Hey, thanks for the pub, Forbes? No. He is suing them because he says, hey, I'm actually worth closer to $30 billion. You underestimated my fortune. Now I look like a pauper.
What? Are you kidding?
He thinks they have ruined his reputation because they estimated he was worth $20 billion. He says they were off by $9.6 billion. He's actually worth $30 billion.
Oh, my God. What an ego.
What's up with that? We wanted to find out more about the story, so we asked producer Dave, could he please line us up, the Saudi Arabian prince, and I believe we have Mr. Bin Talal on the phone with us right now. Hello, sir.
Hello, my babies. How are you doing, my babies, my pretty, pretty babies?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I'm a little bit confused by this story. Why are you suing Forbes?
Well, it's obvious why I'm suing them, isn't it? I mean, come on, they said I was worth $20 billion. But, of course, I'm worth much more than that, $30 billion, at least $30 billion. So they made me look like one of those hobos who just had $20 billion.
I don't know. It seems to me like $20 million is a lot of money. I mean, I don't think anybody's worried about you. I think you can print food on the table for the family, right?
It's libel, my babies. It's libel to say that I only have $20 billion. I spit on $20 billion. I am $30 billion. Listen, babies, this is how I roll. I have a plane, okay? I have a 747. It's my own private plane, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's beautiful. It's called the Flying Palace, okay, babies? You know what I sit in on that plane? Do you think I sit in a seat? Like you paupers who have not $30 billion?
Well, what else would you sit in on an airplane?
A gold throne, babies! Babies, it's made of gold!
You have a gold throne on your private 747.
That is right, my beaches.
Okay, we understand that you're rich, but what does it...
I don't think you understand how rich I am. $30 billion. You ever know how much $30 billion is?
It's a lot of money.
It's more than a lot of money, babies. It means that I poop gold now.
You actually poop it.
Yes. There you go. There's a little gold brick for you right now.
He wasn't kidding about that. But look, how does it really damage your reputation? Once you're talking about this kind of money, it doesn't really matter how much you have.
It absolutely matters. It matters more now than ever, my babies. You must understand, I am going up against all those low-life, white trash billionaires who have $20 billion, and I cannot be put in that class. I am in a class of my own. $30 billion is what makes me Alawid bin Talal, baby!
Right. So
there we go. There's another little gold brick for you. How do you like that?
So, Prince, what are you spending all this money on besides, you know, the jet?
I'm spending on everything, everything you want. I can have women, I can have drugs, I can have politicians in my pocket. I can do anything I want with my money. It makes me indestructible, my babies. Except when a magazine says I have $20 billion. That makes me furious.
Yes, I understand. All right, so you're suing them. You're basically accusing Forbes magazine of libel, saying that they have ruined your good name. How do you think that case is going to go?
I can't wait. I'm suing them for $30 billion. That way I'll be having $60 billion when it's all over, babies. And then there we go. There's another one.
What?
I don't
what?
Feel so good.
Oh, Prince, no. You sound fine. You're not. Oh.
Come on.
You were fine. There's no indication of this. Who could have seen this coming?
Well, us.
Hey, look, it's platinum. I throw a platinum.
You haven't picked up the Imagine Dragons album yet. You are no friend of mine, by the way. It is so great. So many great songs we haven't even gotten to here on K-Rock. Like Amsterdam, I don't think we played. Tiptoe, we haven't played. It's just a terrific album. Anyway, that's Imagine Dragons here on K-Rock at 7:50. Elijah Wood joins us right after the top of the hour talking about his terrifying new film called Maniac. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Really quickly, I know Doc will probably cover this at the top of the hour in the news, but congratulations to all our gay and lesbian and transgender and bisexual friends out there.
Yes.
Historic day from the Supreme Court, knocking down a couple rulings that...
So you and Armie Hammer could now get married in the state of California.
Sorry, I'm so going after him. Now I got the green light. It's me and Armie. I wonder if you can have like one of each. You know, can I marry one woman and one guy? Can we keep those separate?
Hey,
yes.
I'm new legislation. I'm going to work on new legislation.
Anything goes these days, Ralph. Come on.
Say one of each.
You can marry a goat. That's what I heard.
My friends, soon, pedophilia.
That's what I understand.
Rush is just losing his mind today. All right, let's talk about show business news. John Mayer has something magical in his pants. That's the only possible explanation I can think of. Katy Perry just told Vogue magazine that things with John Mayer, she was dating him for a while, were over. It was finished. It was complete. She said he has a brilliant mind, but he has a tortured soul. That relationship is over, done, finished. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, apparently this week they were seen going at it in a Soho neighborhood restaurant in Manhattan where they were smiling and talking over dinner and all over each other. So
I saw a picture of them walking out of that restaurant holding hands.
Yeah.
John Mayer is a dick, though, right?
I don't think so. I don't know anything, any evidence to support that.
Really? That's the impression
like
I get.
He seems like a cool dude to me. Why do you say he's a dick?
Well, maybe because he hurt my tailor. Maybe that's part of it.
Oh, Jesus. She is not your tailor.
She is. I love her. I don't like anyone who's mean to her.
Congratulations to CBS. They did very well for themselves on Monday night. Big news for them. The first episode of Under the Dome. Huge numbers. Over 13 million viewers. People tuned in to watch that series premiere. Of course, it helped it debut in the summertime. Not a lot of new stuff to watch, so not a lot of competition, but still very good. It was the most watched summer premiere on CBS since 1992. When they rolled out, of course, the show we all remember and love now, 2000 Malibu Road.
Oh, that was the... Wait, what?
Yeah, that was the show in 1992. They got 17 million viewers for CBS.
Really?
2000 Malibu Road?
Yeah, the smash hit, of course, launched all those careers. Remember all the stars of 2000 Malibu Road?
I've got the box set of all 20 seasons of that.
Yeah, me too. What a huge, huge hit. So
I don't even know what that is.
Bodes well for Under the Dome, if it has the kind of lasting power of 2000 Malibu Road.
Listen to who was on this show, Ralph. Do you remember anything about it?
I was. The only reason I know it is because one of our listeners said, "What was the big show in '92 that they're comparing this to?" And I said, "I don't know. It must be something huge to get those kind of numbers." So I looked it up, and that was the show, 2000 Malibu Road.
2000 Malibu Road, according to Wikipedia, primetime American soap opera that aired on CBS the summer of 1992. The series stars Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Beals.
What?
Brian Bloom. Lisa Hartman, Michael T. Weiss, Tuesday Night, Scott Bryce. Those were the stars of the show. It must not have lasted very long, though, right?
Drew Barrymore was on a series?
It lasted six episodes, guys. It must have been terrible if it debuted with 17 million on August 23rd and was canceled on September 9th.
Wow.
They must have advertised the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And then people watched it.
It was an Aaron Spelling show. That may explain some of its backing, you know, how it got on the network and everything, because sure. He, you know, he's had certainly had his success. But wow, that's an interesting cast. I don't remember that at all. I bet none of them are putting that on their resumes.
No, I don't think 2000 Malibu Road is sticking out on anyone's IMDb page. Wow, I had no idea.
Me neither.
There you go. So, look, doesn't mean anything, I guess. Those numbers were under the dome then.
Enjoy it while you got it.
Under the dome may be the 2000 Malibu Road of 20 years from now. Who knows? Fans of Star Trek are celebrating today, not just because they can marry dudes, but because they have a new intersection to celebrate in Sacramento, California. Two streets in California have just been named Klingon Court and Romulan Court. So now you can go to the intersection of Klingon and Romulan and whip out your phaser.
I think the nerds have arrested. Too much power in this state now.
How dare you, sir?
If they're now naming streets.
Oh, how exciting it would be to live on Klingon and Romulan. Can you imagine? Get out there and just boldly go where no man has gone before.
Sure.
All over your lawn. I don't even know what that means. And we're celebrating today because, some of us are celebrating because the Supreme Court made some rulings that make everyone a little more equal. However, not everyone has gotten the message yet that we're all sort of the same, especially under the skin. A man was arrested after a Toby Keith concert Saturday night in Camden, New Jersey, because he decided, after watching Toby Keith's show, to climb over the fence at a housing project nearby in Camden, New Jersey, and whip out his Confederate flag and start shouting racial slurs at the people who lived in that housing complex. Hey! Darren Wolf is his name, and they say he was screaming racial epithets at the folks living inside the housing project while waving a Confederate flag around the front of the building. That Toby Keith, he inspires the best in all of us, doesn't he?
You love all of his fans.
I do. Darren was then arrested and charged with bias intimidation, which I didn't even know was a thing, harassment, and criminal trespassing. He's being held in Camden County Jail on $5,000 bail and to keep him from getting his ass whooped, I'm guessing. So.
It's all fun and games till they shoot you in the face.
That's right. I would sentence him to living in the housing project in Camden, New Jersey for a couple years.
That's a great idea.
And then have the neighbors explain things to him and perhaps show him the error of his ways.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not allow him to listen to any more Toby Keith, because that appears to be a bad influence on him about sticking his American boot up someone's ass.
It's a bad cocktail, is what right. We're saying. Mike Tyson's one-man show, Undisputed Truth, was on Broadway. And he also had a brief 10-week tour of the country, but not a lot of people got a chance to see it, unlike Lisa May. She saw it.
I did.
You'll get to see it on HBO. It's just been announced that Spike Lee and Mike are going to team up together and tape a special edition of Undisputed Truth in New York City next month and then debut it on HBO later this year. So you'll get to see it live as it was intended on the cable network. And more cable news, Ron Moore, the guy who gave us Battlestar Galactica on Sci-Fi, has a new show. It's going to be on the Starz cable network later this year. It's just been announced. It's called Outlander. It's another sci-fi show about a married combat nurse from 1945 who is swept back in time to 1743 and forced to marry another man.
What?
That old story? They're dragging that old war horse out again?
I saw the exact same plot line on 2000 Malibu Road. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a concept that's going to fly with people.
Huh.
But it's interesting, I guess. There's still way too much time travel going on in that one sentence for me.
Now, it would make a little more sense than
right. She goes from the 40s to the 1740s.
It's very odd.
And that's for you people.
Oh, no, that's a wire brush to my hemorrhoids.
And another fantasy show being developed by Damon Lindelof, the man who brought us Lost, of course. It's called The Leftovers. You've heard about this? It's going to be on HBO.
No.
The Leftovers is a series about the people who get left behind after the rapture.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah. I love that.
That'd be us.
Interesting. Yeah, that'd be us fighting for food and shelter.
Oh, I'm going to be so mad when everyone rises up and I'm still here.
Kevin and me listeners would be fine, though, right?
Yeah. What, you mean they'd be here with us?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We'll all be together. Liv Tyler, Christopher Ecclestone, who was Doctor Who for a short period of time, and Amy Brenneman will all be joining the cast. So that sounds like an interesting concept.
It does.
That was kind of the plot of that other End of the World movie that Craig Robinson was in a couple of months ago. What was that one called? Not This Is the End, but the one that came out before Rapture Palooza or whatever. Yeah. That's exactly what that was about, is the people who are left on Earth after the apocalypse happens and all the Christians go up to heaven, and then who's left and how do they deal with the world? It's a pretty interesting concept for a show.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Mick Jones of The Clash is 58 years old, Chris Isaacs 57, Patti Smyth of the band Scandal in her own solo career is 56, Terry Nunn of Berlin is 52, Colin Greenwood of Radiohead is 44 years old. Writer-director Paul Thomas Anderson is 43, as is actors Sean Hayes and Chris O'Donnell and Nick Offerman. His co-star from Parks and Recreation, Aubrey Plaza, is 29 years old today. What was that movie she was in with Jake Johnson that was so great?
That was Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yes. Safety Not Guaranteed. Love so that good. Film. Nathan Folwell of Kings of Leon is 34 years old, and our buddy and super talented actor Jason Schwartzman is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, let's talk Maniac. Prepare to be terrified. Listen up.
I think you're cute. You like it rough?
What do you do exactly?
I take pictures of mannequins. I try to bring them to life.
Would you like to see my work?
I think you're incredibly talented.
The mages have found the last true romantic.
I don't know about all that.
Please don't scream. You're so beautiful.
Elijah Wood, what are you doing? Dude, seriously, what are you doing?
Scaring the crap out of us. That's what he's doing.
Look, I know that there are a lot of horror movies. This may be the most I haven't seen the movie yet. It may be the most terrifying trailer I've seen in 2 years, dude. It's creepy.
Yeah, it's a scary trailer. They did a great job with the trailer, man.
Yeah, I bet it's a scary movie, too. So you are a serial killer who, for some reason, seems to be able to get so many chicks. Like, how do you – like, I know normal, nice guys who have never killed anyone that can't get a date. How does your creepy, mannequin-collecting serial killer manage to get so many women?
He spends a lot of time on online dating services. He's also not – I mean, the thing about some serial killers from the past, I mean, look at Ted Bundy, for instance. He was an attractive guy who did heinous things to women, but he was popular with women. You know, he had a sort of dual life. So it's definitely, you can imagine it being possible, at least.
Right, exactly, yeah. Look, you've been an actor for a long time, Elijah, and you played lots of different types of roles, and this isn't even your first serial killer role, but do you do anything different to kind of get in the mode, or is it just another day at the office where you just go, well, this is who I am, and you don't give it that much thought?
Well, I mean, I think I give, you know, as much thought as every character needs. I certainly am not flippant about playing a character. And I think when it comes to this kind of character, especially in the context of a horror film, it was really important to me that the character come to life in a realistic way. I think the biggest challenge is to not fall into cliche. You know, we've seen so many serial killers, we've seen so many villains in horror films, and it would probably be very easy to just sort of, you know, plug in the various things that we know about how these characters tend to be portrayed. And it was important that I didn't fall into those traps and to be, you know, as fully well-rounded as a character as possible.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was watching the trailer because there have been a lot of horror movies in recent years, and you're right. They can start to look pretty generic after a while. But one of the decisions that you guys made in making this Maniac film is, and you don't see this very often, is it is shot from your character's point of view. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the movie is actually a remake of a 1980 film called Maniac as well, and I'm not a huge fan of remakes, but when this was proposed to me, the idea that they were going to be shooting this in a completely different way, and primarily from the killer's perspective, was so exciting to me. The idea that the audience would be sort of subjectively experiencing what this heinous killer is doing could potentially provide a very disturbing experience to the audience. And it was a very unique way to shoot a film as well. You know, I'm largely not on screen, so I spent a lot of the time behind the DP and camera operator, you know, occasionally interjecting an arm to break frame. It was a lot of fun, and it provides a very unique experience, I think.
Yeah, in the trailer, when you see one of your victims that you're kind of chasing down the street, it does look totally different. Rather than watching you chase this woman, you feel like you're chasing the woman. And it's kind of disorienting a little bit, you know?
So It makes you feel a little dirty.
Yeah, right. This is the voice of Elijah Wood here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his new film that is just starting to open up. In fact, it's in theaters in Los Angeles this Friday. It's also available and going to be on video on demand as well. It's called Maniac. So even though you're not on screen a lot, you still kind of had, you're still actually there physically with the person who has the camera on him, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've never worked so closely with the DP before. I mean, there were scenarios where I was holding on to his shirt or jacket and kind of tugging to give him an indication of a direction for where the character should go. But I was there every day. It was a real discovery process because I think, you know, going into a movie like this, in some ways, we may have all been a little bit naive thinking that it simplifies the process. But in a way, not having traditional coverage to be able to cut to, it actually created more of a challenge. So it was kind of, every scene was almost like a little puzzle that we had to figure out.
What's the job that your character in Maniac has? Something to do with mannequins?
Yeah, he's a mannequin restorer. He repairs broken mannequins. He runs.
Is that a real thing? Does that job exist?
It does actually exist. In fact, we had to do a photo shoot for the character that Nora plays, called Anna. She photographs my character repairing the mannequins. We had to do a photo shoot that with a real guy that came in and had the real tools that one would use to repair them. So apparently that actually does exist.
Yeah, mannequins are creepy, though, right, Elijah?
they're extremely creepy. Yes.
Now, am I giving too much away? I've read about some articles about the movie, and it's revealed this, but I don't know if we want to say it on the radio about the souvenir that your character likes to take from his victims. Would you rather I didn't say that?
No, I think it's okay to reveal that. His compulsion is to kill these women and to keep a piece of them, and he scalps them, and he keeps their scalps kind of as a souvenir, but it's also, he puts them onto the mannequins of his shop as a way of almost keeping those people with him.
What do you think, Lisa?
That is so gross.
Scalping. He scalps them and puts the hair on his mannequins. That's what this guy does, and he continues to get dates. That's what this guy does. In our remaining moments, Elijah, I read an interview with one of your co-stars, actress Megan Duffy, who's one of your victims in the movie, and she was talking about all the times that she had to get choked, and I guess she's, you know, one of your naked victims that you kill or something like that. She said there was one time where, thank God, the director yelled cut because she thought she was going to pass out for being choked. Did you know that?
Oh, God, I didn't know that. No. That's terrible. That's my hands. That's awful.
Right. That is a commitment to the work right there, when you almost pass out for being choked on screen a few times. Crazy.
It is. Yeah, it is. Those are the most disturbing moments, actually, when we were shooting, because it's one thing to sort of fake scalp somebody because you've got a prosthetic and it's fake blood. But it's another thing entirely when you just have your hands on someone's throat, or there's another character that I hold under the water in a bathtub. It's disturbing, you know, when there's less there to sort of differentiate between what's real and fake, especially when there's someone's well-being that you're concerned about. It's a little disturbing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I thought about that same thing on that choking scene, because, I mean, that just shows you how fragile life is, that thin line between being alive and being dead. I mean, another human being without any kind of special training or tools could literally take your life in a minute. I mean, it's really horrifying to think about.
It is horrifying.
And that's a great message for the kids today. It's a great lesson to learn as they head into their day, is to think about how easy it is to die. Well, you got me all creeped out now. I got goosebumps just talking about this movie, Maniac. It does look great, Elijah. We're very excited about it. And as I mentioned, video on demand, and it's opening in theaters in Los Angeles this Friday. Again, it's called Maniac. It's always good to have you on the program, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Less than 5 minutes away from getting a chance to win your way into the Lone Ranger, KROQ screening of the Lone Ranger movie. We'll tell you how you can win those in just a moment. First, though, Ralph, I'm glad you're in studio with us here right now, because you were very upset at the end of the show yesterday when you saw that a cease and desist order from the Los Angeles Department of Transportation had been issued to these ride share services, these cars that you can hire, car for hire services like Uber, Lyft sidecar. You're very upset about that cease and desist order saying that they face being arrested or fined if they continue operating. How come?
No Uber, no peace, man. That's my motto. You know, I was trying to respect the order. I tried to get a cab yesterday instead of using Uber, but they were all busy circling City Hall, so nobody was available near me to pick me up.
Well, let's find out what's going on with this, because I know this is something that's actually in the news that affects a lot of people. And believe it or not, Mr. Drischler, Tom Drischler, taxicab administrator for the Los Angeles Department of Transportation, joins us on the phone right now for reals. Hey, Tom, how are you, sir?
Fine. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
great,
Tom.
Great of you to join us. This has been, surprisingly, your action yesterday has made news all over the country. A lot of people are following with interest what's going on with this war for the streets in Los Angeles.
Well, we do everything from the perspective of what's good for public safety. And with these ride-sharing app companies, we just can't assure the public that the ride they're getting is by an operator who's properly insured with a decent background check being done, that the vehicle's inspected. And these are all standards that we have for taxi cabs in L.A.
Tom, mm-hmm. are there any cases of people using these services and having there been safety issues? Are there any complaints from the patrons?
There have been in other cities, but you know it's our job in L.A. We don't wait for something bad to happen. When someone's unregulated, there's potential for problems, and it's our obligation to do the code enforcement and enforce the law.
So is it your wish, Tom, that these services will come to code, be regulated, and then be allowed to operate legally and lawfully on the streets alongside taxicabs? You're not trying to stamp out these private services, right? You just want them to follow some of your rules.
Well, yes, it would be nice if they were legal. We'd welcome them if they were legal. But mm-hmm. you know, some of the problems are this. With the Lyft and sidecar, you know, we're talking about people in private vehicles offering transportation services for compensation, and they really should be in commercially registered vehicles and have commercial level insurance. You know, with Uber, now they use a certain number of their operations, perhaps even most of them are use state licensed by the State Public Utilities Commission limousine companies,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine with us as long as they're not behaving like taxis, and you know, soliciting business, accepting walk-up business, and also using this what we would call a de facto taxi meter with this phone app that they have that measures, uses GPS to measure time and distance for charges. That's really like a taxi meter. That should only be used by taxis.
Now, do you anticipate enforcement as a result of your cease and desist? I mean, will you literally be pulling people over who are driving a Lyft or a sidecar and either arresting them or citing them for a fine?
Pulling over them would probably not be the tactic. We have ongoing what we call bandit taxicab enforcement efforts with LAPD and LADOT investigators. It's been going on for a number of years, and probably would be more like sting operations where you use undercover officers.
Oh, I see.
Tom, let me ask you, what is the problem with a limo service like Uber using a distance charging method versus a time rented charging method?
Because that's really a taxi meter in our view, and the public can't be assured of what their charge is actually going to be. Now, with the with taxis in L.A., the taxi meters are very closely scrutinized by weights and measures. They have to have a certificate that they've been inspected, and they follow our very specific taxi rates that are set by the Taxi Commission and the City Council.
This is the voice of Tom Drischler here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the taxicab administrator for the Los Angeles Department of Transportation. We're talking about the cease and desist order that he sent out to some of these car-for-hire services. It's making news all over the country. I totally get where you're coming from in terms of wanting regulation, in terms of wanting to make sure that these services are safe and you know what's going on out on the streets. But you are aware that there is quite a backlash against taxicabs in Los Angeles. There are an awful lot of people who hate taking a cab because they don't think that they think the drivers are rude. Oftentimes the drivers are smelly. They won't. A lot of them won't take credit cards, which I think is a tremendous disservice to the passengers. That's another reason why they like using some of these other services. I mean, the cabs definitely have problems in L.A., don't you think, Tom?
There's room for improvement, certainly. However, you know, they are very technologically advanced. They have computerized dispatch. A lot of the cabs now have these systems in the cab where you can use a credit card. The customer doesn't even have to hand the credit card to the driver. And, you know, they have GPS. And, yeah, there's no question that there's drivers that are problem drivers, and, you know, we do discipline them. But the key to taxi service in L.A. is that you can complain. You can go online to Taxi Cabs L.A. and file a complaint about a particular driver, and we can actually take action. And, you know, we do suspend drivers. We do fine them. But with these kinds of operations, the phone app companies, there's nowhere to turn to. You know, there's no one to back you up.
In our remaining moments here, Mr. Drischler, what do you think the next step is? What's going to happen now?
Well, you know, we are going to do enforcement. And, you know, it's always better to have compliance than to have to, you know, drop a hammer on an illegal operator. I think in the long term that these companies probably should look to the California legislature to have state law changed so that they can operate legally. But I am concerned particularly about private vehicles out there doing the vehicle for hire service.
And Ralph, what are you going to do today? Nothing but Uber? Just Uber from one place to another all day long?
Well, my concern is with a company like Uber. I mean, using the app, I'm able to get a ride within, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. And if I call a cab, sometimes the wait can be 15, 20, a half an hour. So it strikes me that maybe Uber has built a better mousetrap, and maybe there's some sort of pressure from the cab services to put a sort of a chilling effect on these services.
Well, you know, let's talk about competition just for a minute. You know, in L.A., like, for example, of our cabs, we have 225 of the more than 2,300 are wheelchair accessible. And that's something that we force them to do because we think that's a good standard in the city that disabled folks have access to taxi cabs.
Right.
We're not aware that Uber, Lyft, or Sidecar have even a single wheelchair accessible vehicle. And so that's a huge expense that they don't have to have, and that's the kind of thing that makes them competitive with taxis.
But, well, I hope there's a way to work it out so that the customer will have a variety of legal options to choose from to get around town. I think that would be a win-win for everybody, right?
That would be fine, sure.
Okay, well, we appreciate your time coming on. Thank you, Mr. Drischler. Thank you.
Thank you all.
All righty. Okay, wow, look at us, talking to a real guy in government.
Yeah, I know, about a real thing.
About a real thing, that's not us. He didn't even vomit at the end of the call. That's what surprised me. All right, let's change our focus now and talk about Ralph's new boyfriend, Armie Hammer.
Oh, he's so dreamy.
Johnny Depp in a film called The Lone Ranger. It opens up everywhere on Wednesday, July 3rd. You get to see it two nights early at the AMC Century Theater. This time around, we are looking for you if you are particularly drawn to this film because you love Johnny Depp. We're looking for Johnny Depp fans. We'll give you a chance to earn those tickets. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K-Rock. The Ace Man himself, Adam Carolla, joins us just after 9 o'clock with This Week in Rage. Right now, though, we want to give away some tickets to go see The Lone Ranger ahead of it opening in theaters. You get to see it on July 1st at the AMC Century Theater with a game we like to call Depth Perception.
We had tickets to a Johnny Depp movie.
This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception.
We'll play for you a clip of a Johnny Depp movie.
This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception.
Just identify. What movie the clip is from? And you will see The Lone Ranger. Now look, you won.
This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception.
Okay,
what's
Omar.
What's happening with Omar lately?
We will test your Depth Perception because Johnny Depp, of course, stars as Tonto, the faithful Indian companion to the titular Lone Ranger in this film. And he's done a lot of movies, we found out, this Johnny Depp. Turns out he's made a lot of movies.
I was thinking this was his first film, but apparently I was wrong.
You were
wrong.
He
has other films on his resume.
So we've taken clips from other Johnny Depp films, and all you need to do is listen to the clip and then identify what film it's from.
Wow, that sounds pretty easy. We'll just take him in order, Beer Mug. We'll start with line one. Russell is going to be our first contestant. Hi, Russell. Thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
What up, Party People? Woo, I'm ready.
Okay, Russell's on meth. Here's your clip, Russell. Listen carefully.
And I know that you're ashamed of me.
No, I'm not.
I never want it to be a joke.
No joke, Mom.
Oh, Gilbert, please don't disappear.
What, Johnny? Ooh,
quite
Depp
a hint
film
in that one.
Is that
yes
from Russell?
That Benny and June?
No, no, sadly. What's eating Gilbert Grape?
We thought maybe the use of the name Gilbert in the clip might be your giveaway, but apparently not. Thank you for playing, Russell. Up next is Sherry. She's on line two. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
What's eating Gilbert Grape? His mother, by the way, is what ate Gilbert Grape.
She's a big woman.
Sherry, here you go. Here's your clip from the Johnny Depp movie.
What's your purpose in Port Royal? Yeah, and no lies.
Why then?
I confess. It is my intention to commandeer one of these ships, pick up a crew in Tortuga, raid, pillage, plunder, and otherwise pilfer my Weasley black guts out.
There you go.
All right, what do you think there, Cher?
Sweeney Todd?
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, what?
That was Pirates of the Caribbean.
He's commandeering a ship and raping and pillaging.
And he's also talking like this. He's only done in three films, as best as I know.
Thank you, Sherry, for the Sweeney Todd reference. All right, let's try
Maury. These people are picking the most obscure Johnny Depp movies ever.
Isn't it weird?
Is it this The Last Brave?
He's one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Maury, you are up next. How have you been doing so far listening on hold?
I didn't get Gilbert Grape, but I definitely got Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right, see if you can get this one. Here's your clip, Maury.
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers.
There you go. What movie?
If it's a cocaine, I'm going to go with Donnie Brasco.
Oh, my Lord. No, that was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. He played, of course, Hunter S. Thompson, the legendary Gonzo journalist. No tickets.
Thank you for playing.
You. No tickets.
How do you guys feel we're doing in giving away tickets to
see? We're giving away less than we would have liked, I think, since we have 5 pair to give away and we've given away none.
All right. I think Caitlin's going to turn it around, though.
Me
I feel
too
pretty good about Caitlin.
She seems bright, intelligent, and lovely.
Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. You got to break our Ofer streak, okay? Good luck.
Thank you.
If you're a rat, then I'm the biggest mutt in the history of the mafia.
Even if this thing is a federal boat left, they scam all these other people, they didn't scam us. You know what I'm saying? They went, we had a great party, we walked away from it.
Alright, what do you think there, Caitlin?
I'm going to say that one is Donnie Brasco.
Well done, Caitlin!
Finally.
I knew we could count on you. You're getting tickets to see the Lone Ranger. Hold on, okay?
Alright, our streak has been broken. I think it's clear sailing from here on out. Sarah is going to keep it going. She's on line 5 and she's up next on the Kevin Amin Show.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. Hi. Here's your Johnny Depp movie clip.
I'm Veruca Salt. It's very nice to meet you, sir.
I always thought a veruca was a type of wart you got on the bottom of your foot.
What movie is that from, Sarah?
Oh my god. I want to say The Tourist.
Oh, my Lord. She says my name's Veruca Salt in the clip. It's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is what that's
from. She couldn't hear it.
The Tourist.
Thank you for the call, though. A hilarious answer. All right, we got time for just a couple more. Then we got to go. I'm sorry. Diego is up next. He's on line 6. Diego, how you feeling, man? You feeling good about this?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not filled with confidence for you, Diego.
Depth perception is the game. Name this Johnny Depp movie from the clip. Listen up.
Breaking up a Colombian marriage was a serious thing. A lot of people were pissed off. Didn't matter. I was Escobar's guy. I was untouchable.
There you go. There you go. There's some cocaine for you.
Fear and Loathing?
Fear and Loathing.
We already used that one. Right.
That was Blow, the film about cocaine, of course, that Johnny Depp starred in. Blow.
I feel like people just Googled it, and then they're just
randomly picking titles of movies.
They have no idea what they're really about.
Okay.
All right, one more, because I don't want to go out on that one. Let's try Don. Let's see if he can save the segment.
Don
welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
You're our final hope, Don. Don't let us down.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Don.
Here's your clip from your Johnny Depp movie.
I know him anywhere. Well, as you can see, we're still having tea. And it's all because I was across the hill time waiting for your return. You're terribly late, you know. Naughty.
Hmm. What do you think?
That'd be Alice in Wonderland.
Don! Yes! There it is. Ladies and gentlemen. Yay! Well done, Don.
Congratulations. You'll see The Lone Ranger July 1st. It opens everywhere July 3rd. Thanks for playing Depth Perception.
This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception.
Chance win those Nine Inch Nails tickets coming up within a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in on a Wednesday morning. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on K-Rock.
How am I supposed to focus now when Lisa was just talking about her butt?
I had to answer, honestly.
I can't think about anything now. this is sad news. Apparently, cast members of The Sopranos are bickering amongst each other over one of their own and how he's been trying to, in their opinion, promote himself through the death of James Gandolfini.
Capitalize on it.
Yeah, the actor in question is named Joe Ganascoli, and he played Vito Spadafore on the show, the mob member who was outed as gay. Remember, he had to go on the run, and he ended up with Johnny Cakes out there in the woods.
Yeah.
He has gone forward and got himself a publicist and is doing a tremendous amount of press talking about the late, great James Gandolfini and their relationship together. And the rest of the cast of The Sopranos is apparently furious at him because they believe he is, like Lisa mentioned, trying to capitalize on Gandolfini's death. Grandstanding, they're calling it, self-promotion.
Does he work at all?
I haven't seen him.
So that was kind of the last thing he has done.
The last thing he was in, he was an extra, or he had like one line in Men in Black 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the cafeteria there.
Yeah, I see Big Pussy out there all the time. Mm-hmm. He's doing a lot of reality shows and stuff like that. One of the cast members says, after joining the show, this is The Sopranos, Joe hired his own PR person, would do all this press for himself, just became too much. James Gandolfini, meanwhile, was very much a team player and would only do interviews if it was to help someone in the Sopranos family or as a group. So they say he's got a longstanding history of this kind of behavior, and a lot of the cast members feel it's inappropriate for him to be trying to capitalize on James's death. So that's sad news that they're turning on their own. He's probably going to get whacked for that kind of behavior, I'm guessing.
That's what happens,
in the
man.
Woods.
Yeah, 22 in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Boom. Meanwhile, Broadway tonight will dim the marquees of each of their theaters at 8 p.m. as a tribute to James Gandolfini. A lot of people know him best for his work on television as Tony Soprano and in the films, but he was also a big-time Broadway stage actor. Picked up a 2009 Tony nomination for his work in God of Carnage on stage. Was also in revivals of On the Waterfront and Streetcar Named Desire. So no stranger to Broadway, James Gandolfini, and they're going to pay tribute to him tonight, which I think is nice.
I still can't get over the fact that he's dead, by the way.
Yeah, it is kind of
just, it was so shocking, so young.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus, also known as So Shocking and So Young, she is getting some heat because recently she had a run-in with a paparazzo. It was a bad run-in, admittedly. Some people said there was a lot of cursing and words exchanged. So she took a photo of the guy's car and then put it on her Twitter account. That's bad in and of itself. But then she showed off his license plate to her 12 million followers and invited them to feel free to ram him off the road if they spotted his car. That doesn't help anyone, does
no,
it?
No, that sounds...
Probably sue for that.
Yeah, yeah, well, that sounds dangerous.
If something happens, he certainly could. I was thinking, you know, I don't know if...
But isn't it like posting someone's address and saying,
I don't know the law of it.
Go get him.
Yeah. I don't know the law of it.
Bitch got no class.
I would suggest that guy just use Uber every chance he gets.
Shelly gets arrested.
Right. The guy really cheesed me off, that guy.
Yeah.
They're not safe.
It sounded like one of your voices.
He would have thrown up at the end, like Bean said, if it wasn't.
That's true.
And congratulations to Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne. If you can believe this story out of Star Magazine, they are once again in love and a couple again after going through a little rough patch. Ozzy reportedly fell off the wagon, and that led Sharon to separate for a short time from Ozzy. But apparently now he is sober. They're back in love more than ever before and reportedly want to celebrate their 31st anniversary with another wedding, renewing their vows, which I think is kind of a sweet gesture.
Oh, be careful of the toast.
Oh, yeah.
Can we check in with Ozzy tomorrow and see how the plans are coming for his renewal? I'd like to see what he's up to.
I hope he's planning the wedding himself.
I do, too.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, just a boatload of celebrities celebrating today. Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation, 29 years old today. Her cast mate, Nick Offerman, is 43. Chris O'Donnell, another very talented actor, is 43 years old today, as is Sean Hayes and Paul Thomas Anderson, the writer and director. Bassist Colin Greenwood of Radiohead is 44. Terry Nunn of Berlin is 42.
Oh, my God. Really?
All right. Berlin. Patti Smyth is 56. Chris Isaac, 57. Mick Jones of The Clash is 58. And our buddy Jason Schwartzman celebrates his 33rd birthday today. Happy birthday,
Jason. You think
he's out
in the car listening to us right now because he doesn't have a radio at home?
Sometimes he does. We know that. Hope he and his wife are celebrating today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
I don't know if we have an office pool going, Lisa, but either Nicole Alvarez, who does Nights Here on KROQ, or our friend Adam Carolla are going to be the first to snap and go on a shooting spree with the traffic lately.
It's possible.
I think they're both just at the point where... Well, what's going on, Ace Man? You don't have a weapon when you're out there in the traffic, right?
My car's a weapon, my friend.
Because I do feel like there are people, and I'm one of them, who get to the point where the traffic is so much of a deal breaker that they just can't stand it anymore. They just break down and cry like a little girl. I feel like you're getting close to that point.
I am so insanely upset at the folks that attempt to run this city because... I would say traffic is the first, second, and third problem we have in this city because there's a lot of problems we have in this city, like bad schools, but then there's a lot of people who send their kids to private schools, so the bad schools don't affect that. But traffic affects every human being
right.
in this city, and it especially impacts the rich.
Now,
and listen, oh, hold on a second. You know all this stuff where we do this thing all the time where it's like, especially the kids are impacted, or especially people of color. This one especially impacts rich whitey.
Why? I don't understand. How come?
Because if you're making $9 an hour, who cares where you got to be? Let's be honest. You're an hour late. You're out under $10. Jimmy Kimmel's an hour late. That's millions of dollars.
I see what you're saying.
And rich whiteys tend to live farther away from the places they have to go, too.
That's right. We drive more expensive cars that are capable of higher speeds. I mean, when you're riding something that's a cross between a 74 Vega and a donkey, who cares you're stuck in traffic? You're driving a gardener's truck with a shark cage welded to the back of it, filled with leaf blowers. Who cares you're going 8 miles an hour? It's got to be a relief to you. You're going 8 miles an hour. You're driving on retread. But when you're driving an M5, you're pissed.
Adam has a lot of rich guy problems. Look, I know we got to get to this week in rage, but I just want to say, seriously, at some point, you, before it gets crazy, you go on a shooting spree, you need to relocate. You need to go, like, in Wyoming or someplace like that where you can just drive as fast as you want, wherever you want, whenever you got to go.
Well, first off, you know I got that land in Plentywood, Montana.
Okay,
most
good. That's where you need to be then.
I'm just stocking it with garbanzo beans until the rapture. So I got that going. And here's my plan. I go on a shooting spree, and then I move. That's my move.
Good.
I like it. After I go on shooting spree.
Adam Carolla is going to be live at the Amalfi Restaurant in Los Angeles like he does next Wednesday night, July 3rd at 7 o'clock, live podcast and Mangria tasting. First come, first serve. That's next Wednesday. And don't forget, tickets are on sale right now through AdamCarolla.com to buy tickets to see Adam Carolla with great Jay Moore. That's at the Wiltern on Saturday, August 3rd. Hey, it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, because I spent so much time talking about the plight of the white man, I'll give you my top two because I know you're in a hurry, Bean and Tammy. starting with number two and work my way up to number one. First, a couple observations. The Zimmerman trial. First things first, Zimmerman slowly turning into Chaz Bono, yes?
Yes. He has not missed many meals since he's been waiting for trial.
He is two donuts and a pinstripe vest away from being Chaz Bono.
You're right.
So someone's got to tap that guy on the shoulder and say, you're turning into Chaz, m'lady. Also, a great moment for all human beings who hate lawyers. We've been driven nuts over the last 10 years with lawyers invading our lives. All these warnings on all the medication. If you're going to take Celexapro, it may cause hair loss and loss of libido. But then all the commercials and all the warning tags and all the car commercials, do not attempt, closed course, professional driver. The whole preamble we get from every lawyer on everything, basically just cluttering and ruining our life and hurting everything around us, meaning you can get a $200,000 Bentley and you look up and it'll have a crappy yellow iron-on sticker on top of the Connelly leather that says airbags, caution. Same thing they put on a $14,000 yard. So the lawyers have been destroying our lives with their crappy preamble warnings the entire time. Well, finally, a lawyer has ruined his own joke. He did his knock-knock joke, but before he did his knock-knock joke, he did his stupid lawyer thing. He gave a 10-minute disclaimer about how you shouldn't hold this against my client and about how this isn't funny and how it causes hair loss and libido loss. And then he told a joke, and guess what? It sucked.
It wasn't funny. For folks who haven't been following that trial, it was one of the strangest opening remarks ever. This is the defense attorney for George Zimmerman, who, by the way, could go away for like 50 years for killing Trayvon Martin, right? This is the guy who you've entrusted to keep you out of prison. And he does exactly what Adam said, is he gets up there and does all the disclaimers, like Lisa does on her traffic, and then attempts to tell a knock-knock joke that just was so awkward and so unfunny. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in a courtroom.
But if he had just told the knock-knock joke, he may have pulled it off.
Right.
You can't do a 10-minute disclaimer before you tell a joke, any joke.
Right.
Even the Pollock joke's not going to work.
Well, we're not going to go there, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
All right, so it was nice to see a lawyer screw himself with his own stupid disclaimer for once. And then, number one, I just looked into the cupboard. I told my wife, next time you hit the market, get a chub pack of those Super C's, Emergencies, you know, the things, the little C stuff in the packet you dump into the
sure.
water and syrup. And I realized what she does is she gets the I never want you to ask me this again amount, so she gets three crates of it, so I never run out and we never have to have this discussion again. It's the thing you get, the passive-aggressive thing when you go through the drive-thru and you go, oh, sorry, could I get some more ketchup? And then they reach into a vat and put 35 of them in their smock and throw them into your car and go,
right.
never ask for ketchup again. You
right.
son of a bitch. That's the amount I get. Well, here's what I got. I have $250,000 in the tropical flavor. I don't like tropical flavor. Nobody likes tropical flavor. Does anyone? What is the flavor of tropical? Isn't that just a cop out? Isn't that just when people that make mints and spreads and stuff just have a bunch of extra stuff so they put it all in the same hopper and call it tropical?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's the stuff that's left after they've made the fruit flavors that people enjoy. This is what they scrape off the bottom of the machine.
Right, and here's the thing. You need to make it in a package that is clearly different. We have 1,000 flavors for everything now, Doritos and everything else, but the bag looks almost the same, and then you come home with a fun pack of corn nuts, except for these don't taste like corn nuts because you got the jalapeno back sack flavor.
I do that all the time. It drives me crazy.
Yes, and you're like, well, what's the package is almost the same. I had to get a jeweler's loop out to find out this is the one that tastes like cat crap rolled in AIDS, Jimmy. I didn't know. Make the package difference, you a-holes. You know who does it right? Gum. Gum gives you a different package. The spearmint and the bubble gum look nothing alike.
Yep.
Well,
one is
true.
Winter green, the other is hot pink. You'll never screw up. I'm sitting here with 250,000 Emergencies that taste like tropical ass.
So you now need a proofreader to go with you every time you go to Costco to buy anything, right?
That's right.
AdamCarolla.com is where you want to go for all the live information on the upcoming dates, including July 3rd at the Amalfi Restaurant in Los Angeles and Jay Moore at the Wiltern in August. And, of course, download the world's most popular podcast. Again, it's AdamCarolla.com. Thanks, Ace. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Fire beer mug.
Yeah. Right?
Word.
Who's with me for reals, though?
Everyone.
Just potting you up, man. Just potting you up.
You know, Kevin is the guy who always stands in the way whenever we get up a good head of steam on getting beer mug fired. We should do it this week while he's on vacation.
He's been doing a pretty good job. Let's keep him around.
He wouldn't be around to be that no vote, that veto guy.
I know.
All right, got to take care of that.
Heard Kevin's off marrying a dude today. Is that true?
That seems unlikely for our friend Kevin. Although it did sound like, according to Linus, he does have a pretty busy time going on this week in Las Vegas. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, 9:41. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show.
Sad news for Motorhead fans. Lemmy's having more health problems, apparently. Just a few weeks ago, he had to have a cardiovascular defibrillator installed in his chest because of his heart issues. And now the band's website says Lemmy has a hematoma. For those of you who don't watch ER...
I don't know what that is.
A hematoma is a blood clot that forms outside a vein or an artery where there's a break in the tubing of the vein or the artery. So the blood leaks through and then clots on the outside and needs to be removed. So Motorhead had to cancel shows this week in Austria and Italy. The next gig on the schedule is Friday, but there's no word on whether or not Lemmy will be well enough to perform because of these health issues. So we wish him well and hope he gets
gets well soon for his own sake as well as Motorhead fan sake.
He is a heavy metal legend, and for folks who are not familiar with that band's music, I do actually have a clip of some Motorhead here if you want to hear
terrific.
What they,
what they sound like. Because it's a sausage party, sausage party.
Motorhead Under the Weather. I'm sorry to hear that.
Do you know if Kimmel did that with the ArcLight Music people? Did he do it with those guys who were responsible for Rebecca Black?
I don't know. Dave pointed out that they did get the rapper from the Friday video.
He's the guy who runs ArcLight. He's that guy. He writes all those songs and he appears in all the videos that they do.
I don't know. We should find out.
Yeah, because it sounds just like it, doesn't it? It sounds like one of those songs.
It's got all the auto-tune. It's really funny. If you did not hear about this one, it's the new Jimmy Kimmel viral video called Sausage Party. It's in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can see it right now at KROQ.com. And it's him with, you know, with Cousin Sal and with Cleto and all the guys of the band coming over. And they're just doing all sorts of guy things.
Were you a little heartbroken that you weren't invited to that party?
Bean? No, not at all.
Oh, come on. It would have been fun. It would have been fun eating a bunch of sausages and hanging out with those guys, you know? Yeah, sure.
Even if you don't go.
Yeah.
Do you want extra sausage?
See, you're saying that all the time. You think they would have invited you.
Give the man some croissants, will you?
Jennifer Aniston. Rumors are that her wedding's been delayed yet again.
Really?
Yeah. Justin Theroux reportedly is just too busy now that he has landed a role in that new HBO show, The Leftovers, that we were just talking about the people who are left behind after the rapture.
Well, that won't last long.
And he's had to cancel plans to make the wedding. And word is that Jennifer is not happy. I think by now she would be used to guys not wanting to marry her.
Yeah, will she ever find love? What's going on with her?
Gosh, I don't know.
I feel like every gay in the state of California will be married before Jennifer Aniston.
Farrah Abraham is in the news. Of course, the backdoor teen mom.
Farrah Abramson?
No, Abraham, Kevin. She is very proud, showing off her certificate of completion, her diploma. Don't be silly. It's not for any sort of institution of higher learning. It's because she completed her alcohol education course. This was part of her plea bargain for that driving under the influence charge that she had dealt with. So now she knows more than ever how to drink, I guess. That's what they teach
Yay.
In that class, right? She's magic. American Idol has a new management team in place. They've replaced their executive producers, and they've got new guys coming in. These guys are the ones who have produced the MTV Video Music Awards and the MTV Movie Awards.
So we know it'll be terrible.
That'll be good. That's a move. That's a step up.
Who's making these decisions?
I got to tell you, you know, we've talked about this American Idol problem in the past. Shows aren't meant to be on the air forever. And this program has
Tell
a long...
Tell that to Gunsmoke, man.
This show has had an incredibly long, incredibly successful run. One of the biggest, most successful TV shows of all time. And I understand it's still popular to a certain extent, still making money for them. But what would you do to try to bring it back to even a shadow of its former glory at this point? I think the brand is just too damaged.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
I don't think you can save it. I think people are just over American Idol.
And shifting this production team and getting new judges like they plan to. Apparently that's the first task on the list, is to get a new judging panel. It doesn't matter. It won't ever be what it was. That was lightning in a bottle, and that was a moment in time in pop culture where it became a phenomenon, and they all fade. So accept that and milk it for every last dime you can and ride it into the ground and then cancel it like you should any other TV show.
Quit putting more money into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame them for wanting it, you know, if they have a way to make it better. I guess they should try to do that. We should respect that. But I just don't
think... No way to make it better. It's just people singing. And then you pick the one you like the best. There's no way to make a format like that better. It just is what it is.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
That's what we're saying, Fox. Rumor has it that Jennifer Hudson is already on the short list of candidates to be one of the judges. And she, of course, came off in that show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she won an Oscar. Why would she go back?
I don't know. I like her a lot. I'm a fan of hers, but I don't care what she has to say about other people singing at all.
And Rage Against the Machine guitarist Tom Morello is shockingly speaking out against the government this week. He says that the NSA leaker Edward Snowden, who let us all know that government was monitoring our phone records, is a hero for exposing that government program, and Tom said not only is he a fan, but he's putting his money where his mouth is. He will personally pay for Snowden to fly from South America to South America and live a happy life in Ecuador. He will send him to Ecuador. So,
first class or coach? Does it say what Tom's willing to pony up for?
Does not say how much.
See how much he cares about freedom.
Yeah, I think he's got to check to see what the blackout dates on his credit card miles are first before he actually books the ticket. So we'll have to wait and see. But
you know what Tom Morello is doing this summer, don't you?
I don't.
Playing with the E Street Band.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Steve Van Zandt's, I guess, doing some more acting or something like that. So Tom Morello is the guy who's touring South America and Australia, New Zealand, places like that, playing for freaking Bruce Springsteen. That's his job now.
That's
that insane?
Cool.
Maybe he can smuggle Snowden out in his luggage on one of those
there
flights or something. And Ben Affleck can make a movie about it.
Just imagine what that's like. I mean, he grew up like a lot of people into rock music, idolizing Bruce Springsteen, and now he's part of the E Street Band. I just can't. I mean, every day just must seem like a dream for him.
Morello must be the only guy who makes Springsteen say, "Stop talking about issues." just doesn't want to hear any more politics backstage. God, I thought I was into it. Today's celebrity birthday is Aubrey Plaza. She is on Parks and Recreation and is just adorable and funny on that show. 29 years old today. Her castmate Nick Offerman's 43 years old. Nathan Followill, drummer for the band Kings of Leon, is 34 years old. Actors Chris O'Donnell and Sean Hayes both turned 43 today, as does Paul Thomas Anderson. Bassist Colin Greenwood of Radiohead is 44. Terry Nunn, lead singer for the band Berlin, is 52 years old. Patti Smyth, she was in a band called Scandal back in the day and had her own solo career, 56 years old. Chris Isaak, he's 57. Musician Mick Jones of The Clash is 58. And our buddy and good friend and very talented actor Jason Schwartzman celebrates his 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning we got a pretty good show lined up.
Nope.
It'll probably mostly fall through between now and then, but here's what's scheduled. We're going to have the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Slayton's coming in. Why? Tell me, Ellie Mae. Why am I coming in?
Also, actor and comedian and Brad Williams' podcast partner, the very funny Adam Ray, will be a guest on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show. What is the edible anus?
It should be what?
Ask Lisa. She knows.
The edible anus is a thing that you can buy and then put in your mouth, Lisa. We're going to talk to a man named Magnus about the edible anus tomorrow. Like, if that will get you to come back, I don't know what will.
I don't know how I didn't know about this.
I don't either.
I'm just eating butts.
What happened to Butthole Week?
And Mike Ness from Social Distortion will be on to talk all things Hootenanny. That's tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.